Have you ever rehearsed a conversation in your head so many times that you've worn a groove in your mind? You know every word they said, every facial expression, every moment when your world tilted sideways. The betrayal plays on repeat, and no matter how many times you tell yourself to move on, your body tenses at the mere mention of their name. This is where forgiveness stops being a Sunday school lesson and becomes a survival skill. When your husband's affair shatters 25 years of marriage, when childhood abuse steals your sense of safety, when someone you trusted weaponizes your vulnerability, forgiveness doesn't feel like a gift. It feels impossible. Yet here's the paradox. The very thing that seems most impossible might be the only thing that sets you free. Forgiveness isn't about excusing what happened or pretending it didn't hurt. It's about refusing to let the worst thing that happened to you become the biggest thing about you. Forgiveness works like breathing. You can't inhale God's grace while holding your breath against others. When we accept divine forgiveness but refuse to extend it, we create a spiritual traffic jam in our souls. Grace flows through us when we cooperate with it. Here's the liberating truth. Forgiveness doesn't require the other person to make things right. Redemption is vertical, between you and God, while reconciliation is horizontal, requiring two willing people. You're only responsible for releasing their debt, trusting God to handle justice. In exchange, you receive freedom, the ability to move forward unburdened. The tears may still come, but they transform from bitter to compassionate. Those who cooperate most fully with forgiveness discover a lightness that comes only from laying down heavy burdens. Some wounds split your timeline into before and after. Before, life made sense. After, trust shattered, and even beautiful memories feel contaminated. Wedding photos mock you. Family vacations feel like lies. But here's what trauma doesn't want you to know. You get to decide what stays and what goes. Those wedding photos captured genuine joy, even if the story eventually included betrayal. That vacation was real laughter, even if it wasn't the complete picture. The ability to hold both joy and pain simultaneously without letting one cancel out the other allows you to honor your full story without being defined by its worst chapters. Beyond before crisis and after devastation, there's a third timeline, resurrected hope. What if you searched for hope with the same intensity you've been scanning for evidence of betrayal? Hope has a multiplying effect. The more you look for it, the more you'll see it. I don't know how to forgive this. He isn't sorry. They don't think they did anything wrong. Most of us believe we need to feel better before we can forgive, that circumstances must be settled and offenders must be repentant, but that's backwards. Your healing must be separate from their choices. Here's the breakthrough. Forgiveness is both a decision and a process. You decide to forgive the facts, the affair, the betrayal, the abuse. Then you walk through forgiving the impact those facts had on you. You might forgive the affair, but still need to forgive how it destroyed your ability to trust. Years later, triggers will surface. A name, a song, a place, and your body will react. In those moments, you're not starting over. You're continuing the process. The goal isn't perfection, but progress, getting better at sitting between triggered feelings and your reaction, discerning what's true, giving yourself moments to grieve. Like the lame man at Bethesda who almost missed his healing because he focused on what others needed to do, we must choose to get up and walk regardless of anyone else's actions. Present betrayals devastate us because they activate every past wound we've buried. When trust shatters, it's never just about today. It's about every time we've been abandoned, felt unsafe, or had someone failed to protect us. We all have a story, and then we have the story we tell ourselves about that story. This second narrative, constructed from our wounds, influences us far more than we realize. Childhood experiences create scripts for adulthood. A mother raised in an orphanage, a girl sexually abused and silenced, a fifth grader betrayed by friends. These experiences don't just hurt, they teach. They create rigid scripts. Someone is clearly wrong, an authority intervenes, the wrongdoer apologizes, justice prevents recurrence, then forgiveness leads to reconciliation. This system works for childhood squabbles, but collapses in the real world, where authorities can't address all wrongs, offenders don't apologize, and justice doesn't come. Connecting past experiences to present beliefs helps us understand what still needs forgiveness. What we experience shapes our perceptions, which become the truths we live by. Some circumstances permanently alter your life, their after effects feeling hardest to forgive. A photograph captures a small girl leaning against a tree. No one could see she was desperate to be rescued, hiding inside herself. That photo was taken during the season of abuse, stealing innocence and yanking her into a pit of fear she still fights to escape. How do you forgive when offenders can't or won't cooperate, when they refuse to change, are no longer alive, or when contacting them would be dangerous? Forgiveness is the only step that leads to anything good. Revenge means paying twice for someone else's offense, first when they hurt you, then when you carry that pain inside. When offenders seem to thrive while you suffer, remember, sin itself contains built-in punishment. The one who causes pain is in pain. Someone brutalized their innocence or made them feel terrified, tossed aside, or unwanted. Start by having compassion for the pain they experienced that led to their harmful choices. This doesn't excuse what they did, but it humanizes them enough to make forgiveness possible. Imagine driving home at 1:30 a.m. in pouring rain, feeling helpless as someone you love makes destructive choices. You're as powerless to fix their situation as you are to stop the rain. We can invest energy in two directions, drawing appropriate boundaries or trying to change people. Most exhaust themselves trying to change others, especially when facing unbearable consequences. But you cannot save someone who doesn't agree they need saving. Beyond fight, flight, or freeze, many of us freak out, losing sleep, desperately trying to rescue them. We must release working on people when we're working harder on them than they are on themselves. The shift from control to compassion changes everything. Boundaries aren't to push others away, but to hold you together. Adults inform, children explain. State boundaries clearly without lengthy explanations. Forgiveness means those who hurt you no longer get to limit you, label you, or project their lies onto you. The chains fall away not when they apologize, but when you choose to walk free.